Recorded live at the WonkyWeeds.com studio, it's the Selling Out Show. And now, here is your host, David Chicharro.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show. I am your host, David Chicharone, and over here by my side is my silent partner and my companion in life, I suppose, my dog Phoebe. Yes, Phoebe, say hello. Oh, Phoebe's too busy napping, per usual. She's not into showbiz. It's not her gig. I was actually going to call her more of a dependent, since she relies on me for everything. I think if I let Phoebe out into the wild right now, she would starve and die. So you're welcome, Phoebe. Thank you for joining me and sitting by me as I go on with the show. Now, as far as other dependents, I do have a family. Yes, you'd be shocked and amazed to realize that somebody, a female, decided to spawn with me. Oh, yes. We swam upstream, produced a child. And now I'm dear old dad, old man in his 40s, living his best life, doing family stuff. And to those who don't know, who've never listened to the show before, I have a real job. Yeah, I know. I just talked about showbiz, the glitz and glamour of having one of the 1 billion podcasts out there on the face of the earth. And you'd be shocked and amazed to realize I don't get paid for this. I'm doing this for fun, for free. Because I'm a giver. That's what I do. So in my spare time, I work in a retail setting. And with that, when you get to work with people every day, weekends become a valuable commodity as far as selling stuff. Because, you know, families are out, people are out. Most people have Saturday, Sunday off. They go out and do stuff. And why not go buy crap? Well, since I'm the person selling crap, I generally don't have weekends off. And when I say generally, I just had my first Saturday off since last June. So what does that make? Like 8 months or something. So, of course, it's a momentous event. Dad is taking a Saturday off. All right, we got to do something family oriented. Let's go have some fun. And we picked the zoo. Yeah. The Fort Worth Zoo in Texas. Now, mind you, the moment I realized, hey, I'm finally taking this Saturday off, I knew it was going to be expensive, you know, because it's a family thing. And anytime we get up and get out of the house, it costs me money. My wallet weeps. But, you know, I get it. I remember what life used to be like on the outside before you got locked into this retail jail. I understand. And one of the benefits is to being a slave to the consumer. All right, so you take a Tuesday off, a Wednesday off, whatever the case may be. There's less folks out there hogging up the real estate that you want to, if you go to the zoo, look at animals. If you want to go to a doctor's appointment, it's more convenient. You want to do many things. It's like, okay, well, it's one of the benefits, I suppose, to not having that traditional weekend off. Well, I had to face the fury of the public by going to the zoo on a very warm day in February. I'm not even joking. It hit like the 80s. And the place was jam-packed. It was popping. People were all over the place. It was traffic just to get into the joint. And we were there like right when it opened. Well, here we go. I went, oh boy. This is the kind of day we're going to have. We're going to be fighting people. Tooth and nail. Just to see a hippopotamus. And that much rang true. I want to tell you more about the zoo, but before I do, let's fast forward to the end. We're on the ride home. I know that's quite skipping over a lot of stuff, but trust you me, I will dive a little bit more into it in a little bit. But it's important to note, my son asked me, Dad, what was your favorite exhibit? I sat there, I thought about it for a second, and all the things I saw that day, and I replied to him, the gap-tooth ghetto bird. And he's like, what are you talking about, Dad? And I was like, honest, man. I'm like, you know, with that many people out, I was watching them. I didn't care about the kangaroos and the lions and stuff. I was just more interested in looking at the people, because there was just a wide array of different folks walking around that place that day.
The sportos and motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads.
Yeah, they were all over the place. Everything under the sun, or everybody under the sun seemed to be there. And I was kind of amazed because you had every kind of socioeconomic status represented. Everybody, by the way, was scantily clad. Oh, yes. But we'll get into more of that later as well. So I keep promising things that may never come. So, yeah. So you'd see like the rich blonde ladies in super tight yoga pants walking around with their husbands with the fancy haircuts and the $800 strollers. You'd see the hillbillies, the folks anxious to get to the election so they can vote for Trump again. You know, those guys, the racists, I mean. You had so many different types of people to look at, I was kind of sensory overload. Like, holy moly. And plus, there was a couple things I was concerned about. One, when we were about to leave, I said to my wife, I go, hey, you know what? I'm going to wear shorts today. I haven't worn shorts in months, but I'm afraid because my legs are so white. It's ungodly. It's scary. People are going to make fun of me. But I'll tell you what, when I first showed up, I saw so many bad dad legs. I felt good. I felt safe. This is my safe space. These are my people. You guys haven't been touched by the sun as long as I have. You haven't felt that kiss, that warm ray of light hit your gams in such a long time. I know how you feel. So we're all walking around with our really ghastly pale legs. And then the other thing, though, was, yeah, because it was so warm, a lot of clothing seemed to be left behind that day. I saw a lot of tattoos. A lot of tattoos. And when I say tattoos, not just on men, but on women, on children. No, not on children. But there was just, everybody's got so many freaking tattoos, it's ridiculous. And of course, you know, I'm walking around, looking around at everything, and just thinking like, man, you know, back in my day, in the, let's say even like the 90s, like, my grandmother would have been horrified. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, look at, have all these people escaped from prison? What is up with all these tattoos? But now, I guess it's normal. I even saw a dude, and I kind of mentally mocked him for a moment because he had a huge Led Zeppelin tattoo on his forearm. I'm like, oh, you dummy. Who the hell would go freaking tattoo a band on themselves? What kind of moron? Oops. Me. I got a Butthole Surfers tattoo on my wrist, so who's the moron now? And so, if you remember, Nate, a dearly departed Nate, also had a skinny puppy tattoo. So I'm like, well, who am I to judge, I suppose? But yeah, tattoos a go-go at the Fort Worth Zoo. But yeah, my God, people just everywhere. So I'm like, I don't know, judging. Looking at everyone, kind of criticizing, you know, from their dress to their tattoos to their hairdos to, yeah, how much do I think they have? What do you own? You look poor. No, I'm just kidding. Kind of. But still, it was quite the feast for the eyes. And then even at one point, because there were so many women running around, I mentioned that the rich white ladies in the yoga pants. There's also a fair share of belly shirts, super tight, inappropriate, I think, for a family setting. What do I know? Booty shorts, you know, and people who, you gotta love the confidence, showing off little bits and giblets that you would normally think you'd want wrapped up. I mean, yet again, who am I to judge with the legs so pale they could probably blind somebody. I don't know. But still, there was a lot to see at the Fort Worth Zoo that Saturday in regards to people. We did have a good time. We spent all day there, and it wasn't as expensive as I thought it was going to be, per se. I mean, we did try to plan ahead a little bit because I think If you are a parent or you're a grandparent or what have you, you always try to think, okay, can we bring snacks into this place? Can we bring our own beverages? How can we cut corners so we don't get, you know, just completely raked over the coals financially for spending a day out with our fam? We did bring some food. Unfortunately for us, at that moment in time, we decided to whip out that pizza. My kid was like, I'm not in the mood for pizza. I don't want pizza. I want a burger. So we did actually had to go and eat in one of their cafes, which was, costly. But everybody's happy. It's the cost of doing business, I figure, right? It's one of those things. You go, you get a couple souvenirs, you get to spend a little bit of money. And it could have been worse. It really could have been worse, you know? Sounds like I'm talking about the war on drugs. It could have been worse. I smoked a little crack, but, you know, I didn't OD. So, yeah, I guess it's okay. So, yeah, the zoo. Family stuff, family time. Took a few pictures, you know. And the memories will last forever. I think the most important thing is that my son had a great time. You know what I mean? It's less about me than it is about them, my family. So, like, I should be tickled pink. Anybody wants to be in my presence for any amount of time. Hell, I'm thankful you're listening to me kind of ramble on today about going to the zoo. You know, because what makes me so special? But they love me, and that's great. So I'm just happy to be there, man. So least I can do, show up, buy a few tickets, get a couple tchotchkes. Hey, I'm a cool guy. What can I say? You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So that was all good. And it was a success. Because I'm sure everybody has a horror story, too, about family outings that have gone wrong. This one was overall very, very joyous. Even though I am a little worried that I am projecting some of my neuroses onto my young son, who's now 11, who was so anxious to get inside of the zoo that when we were stuck in traffic trying to get to the parking lot, he was kind of like freaking out, being like, oh, there's so many people. We're not going to see this. We're not going to see that. So it wasn't as much freaking out over, oh, I can't wait to get inside. He was already thinking, well, once we get in there, there's going to be too many damn people. And half of me was like, that's my boy. That, you know what? If I've taught you anything, is to avoid society at large. That's great, you know? And then I even said to him, though, like, hey, man, relax. I'm sorry I do this to you. This is my bad. I just totally saw myself in you. I do that. You don't have to do that, man. Just relax. Have a good time. I don't care if there's a billion people here. You want to see a cheetah or whatever the hell you want to see, we're going to make time to see it. Don't panic. It's not like they're going to sell out of them. It's not Black Friday. People aren't running in, scooping up the last elephant they have. And then, you know, you don't have a tickle me toucan this Christmas. Rather, you know, you just have to kind of wait it out and, you know, get a little violent with people. That's all. Nothing new. It's what the human race is predicated on. Killing each other to see wild animals. But, no, it was fairly crowded, though, in that regard. I mean, you try to be polite, you know. You're not trying to, like, stand at one exhibit for too long, hogging up, you know, the sight lines from everybody. If someone moves, you kind of just chantay over and get in your little spot, look, you take a photo and you leave. I think overall, everybody was fairly respectful in terms of that. The one thing that set me off, and I got verbal about it, and I said something out loud, not to the person, but it's out loud because I knew they could hear me, which is going to sound weird to you guys for a couple reasons. One, If you haven't listened to the show before, I'm big on vaping. I love to vape. It's like one of my things, right? And our sponsors are a vape company. So why would I be complaining about vaping? Well, I have a thing about manners and about being polite, right? Especially when you're out in public. Now, as much as I like to vape, if you get kids around, it's not like a setting conducive to, blowing clouds everywhere. You probably shouldn't do it. You just shouldn't do it. It's not polite. I understand you're outside, you're at a zoo, but still, like, with that many people, you could exhale your vape and it's probably going to drift and land into like a kid in a stroller's face. You know what I mean? That's not cool. I just don't like that. I think that's so freaking rude. So I saw this girl and she was hitting her vape while walking by. And I just out loud, I'm like, hey, you see that lady? She's vaping. And I realized like, I'm like, hey, look, it's me. But at the same time, I was so mad because I'm like, you can't control yourself. How long are you going to be here today? Like, I didn't vape for like 4 hours, you know? You can't just, it's like, if you go to work, you can't take a smoke break whenever you want. So you don't have enough self-control to go to a public place and not do something for a short amount of time. And then worst comes to worst, go to the bathroom, dude. Lady, go to the crapper. Go rip your vape a couple times. Bing, bang, boom, you know? You don't have to do it amongst the crowd because that's how we get signs. That's how we get a bad name. Oh, vaping's just as bad as smoking and this and that. No vaping here. Well, that's because, you know, people act or behave badly. So people get that impression. Oh, this is those rude vapors and they don't notice me because I ain't vaping. They don't even know I'm a vapor. You see? You see what's going on here? My wife's like, settle down, settle down. I'm like, yeah. It just pisses me off. She's giving me a bad name. That lady over there, that freaking, I don't know. She looked like some kind of weird emo gal, but you know, whatever. So yeah, that's the only time I lost it. The whole time I was out and about, all that walking I did, all the people, everything else. That's the only time I kind of blew my top a little bit. It was against one of my own because they didn't show any decorum, no tact. No, not behaving like an adult. But anyway, so did I have a favorite exhibit? I don't know. And one side, you look at it and you go, well, they must be living a pretty good life, these animals. They're taken care of, like Phoebe over here. Right, Phoebes? Yeah. Anyway, they don't have to worry about food or foraging or fighting for their lives or any of that kind of stuff. And that must be pretty good. But then you also wonder, like, would they be happier having to do all that crap? I mean, that's instinctual, isn't it? To go out and have to, you know, they're wild animals, survive in the wild. So what's better? I mean, I think, I don't know about you guys, and feel free to reach out, sellingoutshow@gmail.com or the socials @sellingoutshow. Actually, I'm on Blue Sky now, @sellingout, to make it even more confusing. But let me know, do you want to live inside the zoo? Were you well taken care of? Or do you want to be on the outside where you're free and free for bad things to happen to you? But you do kind of like look at him and go, man, this kind of sucks. Everybody's looking at you all day. Dance for me, monkey. Do something for me, monkey. We saw the giraffes and, you know, they have, I don't know what to call them. I almost said guide, but I know it's not a guide, but like a handler or whatever you want to call them. Maybe they don't even know anything really. They're just paid to stand there. But she was like, hey, don't reach your hands out. These are wild animals. And you think, oh, a giraffe, like, what are they going to do? You don't hear about many savage attacks by a giraffe, do you? But then she'd even said, oh, they can swing their heads really fast in their neck and they'll knock your ass out. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. But you still had people reaching out. I want to touch that thing. You kind of root for the giraffe to bite somebody at that point, especially when you get someone saying, don't do that. And everybody's like, oh, I can't wait. I got to touch this thing. Gonna take a picture of me touching it and post it on Instagram or something or my TikTok. Cause you know, I'm one with nature. But yeah, I don't know. Everybody looking at you all the time while you're doing stuff. Now, gorillas, you know, they don't care. They'll do whatever. We went to the little petting zoo they had. Goats were just mounting each other, having a grand old time. Say, so, hey, I'm surrounded by people. What do I want to do? Oh, they pet me. That's nice. You know what? Look at there, there's Sally the goat. Let me just hop on that and make my move. Now's the time. I mean, of all times, it's a beautiful day outside. You know, the zoo is heavily populated by Homo sapiens. Now's it. If not now, when? That's what I want to know. It is goat time. Because the goats, they don't do it. They make a love. So yeah, I mean, but still, you know, people watching you all the time, bugging you, wanting you to do something. So yeah, the zoo. When I was a kid, I never went to any big fancy zoos. We had one locally for those back in Massachusetts. You might remember, called Southwick Zoo. And that was like a fun experience. And I was kind of like trying to compare the two mentally after this trip, because this is supposed to be the big fancy zoo here. The Fort Worth Zoo is Texas. It's bigger. It's badder. It's, you know, the zoo, baby, compared to like your small town, whatever, rinky dinks. But I think I had just as good of a time as a kid at the Southwick's Animal Zoo back in Massachusetts that I did at this big old fancy zoo. Just me personally. I know there's, like, I got a friend of mine who's like, oh, yeah, the Fort Worth Zoo is much better than the Dallas Zoo and this and that. And I'm like, okay. But I never stopped to ask what his criteria was based upon. You know, why is it better? What's so great about it? I mean, you walk from point A to point B. Hey, look at this. There's a rhinoceros. Oh, look at this. It's, whatever. Name the animal. But you get my drift. So what makes one zoo better than the other zoo? What is it? How do we rate them? If I got to go on Google reviews, why should I give the Fort Worth Zoo 5 stars compared to Southwick's Animal Farm? That's what I want to know. Someone help me out with that. Please help me. I need it. I'm struggling here. So yeah, that was my weekend as I sit here in on a Monday morning. Went to the zoo. That's it, baby. That being said, I don't anticipate taking a weekend off anytime soon. So hopefully my family got their fill and I have somehow made my quota of super dad, my dad powers. You know what I mean? All right, well, let's move on. And before I get into my next convo topic, I want to thank the partners of this show. Why did I just do that in an accent? I'll never know. But I did mention vaping. I love it, provided you do it responsibly in the correct places. And with that, I want to thank NorthlandVapor.com. And underneath their umbrella, we have AlpineHemp.com, RealDBG.com. And the very studio I sit in today is brought to you by WonkyWeeds.com. Now, they have every product imaginable, from CBD to tinctures to all your deltas, all the vape supplies you'd ever need, underneath their banner there, their umbrella. And if you go and check out their web stores and use code SELLINGOUT23, you will save 23% off your entire order at checkout, which is pretty great, especially if you blew a bunch of money buying magnets and t-shirts on a family trip out. Every penny counts here, people. They also have retail locations, so if you ever want to pop in brick and mortar style, check out those sites, and you'll be happy you did. Trust you me. Last but not least, we have Zespunk Lube. This is a lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? If you visit spunklube.com today, you can have some awesome lube delivered directly and discreetly to your door. Check them out today and you can thank me later. All right, now, so there's something else I think is a pressing matter that needs to be discussed on the Selling Out show. It will also fall under TV talk. That being said, we got to have an intro for everything, so let's do that. Show me that smile.
Sleep. What year is it?
Dave's gonna talk now, oh, about something TV. I can't hit a note now. La da 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 do 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 do. I'm out of breath. I need a sip of my coffee. Yeah, a little TV talk, guys. I like talking the boob tube. And since Nate is no longer around, we can't talk music, so why not, you know, TV? Actually, right now on the big screen here in the Wonky Weed studio, I have the Kids in the Hall documentary on Amazon Prime on the TV in the background, motivating me, keeping me going as I spout off into this microphone. But hold on, sip of coffee. I need it. That's professional. Award shows. That's what I want to discuss here. Because the other night, don't know if it was yesterday, night before. I can't keep track. Everything's a blur to me now in my old age. But the SAG-AFTRA Awards was on Netflix. Yes, award shows. Oh, my God. And I don't like them. Quite frankly, I cannot stand them. I think they are just terrible excuses for celebrities to celebrate other celebrities on being celebrities. My wife, though, can't get enough of them. She'll watch them all. The Oscars, the Emmys. I was going to blurt out Tonys, even though I don't think she watches the Tonys. But anyway, you get my drift. Anything that's pretty much on major networks or something, she will check out. Now, the SAG Awards were actually broadcast live on Netflix. Sorry, I'm struggling to speak now. That coffee really threw me for a whirly bird. Maybe another sip will do the trick. I don't know, because I do make a delicious cup of joe. So she's like, well, can you watch some with me? And I'm like, well, it's on in the bedroom. I'm going to read. What's the harm in that? You know, is there any damage to be done by having that on in the background if she enjoys it? No, not really. But something dawned on me. And maybe this will stick with you guys, too. Stick right up in your craw. For a show that is about actors celebrating the actual craftsmanship, the art form of acting, why do they all suck so bad when it comes to presenting? You know what I mean? Like, really, when have you ever seen someone present an award at an award show, try to pull off a funny bit, and it actually comes off as genuine, funny, believable, or any of that stuff that actors are supposed to be very good at? I'm off the hook today. But anyway, you get my drift, right? Like, this is what you do. And I could rationalize it by saying, oh, well, you know, they just probably give you a little cue card or something. Yeah, hey, you got 5 minutes to prep. Here, meet Brad Pitt. You know, here you go. All right. Practice this routine for 25 seconds and we're throwing you out there. I understand that you don't have a lot of time. Someone else wrote the bit for you. It's probably not that good. Maybe you're not even excited to do it, but still, you're an actor, right? You're an actor. So you're telling me you deserve an award for starring in a film that you took how many, God knows how many takes it took you to get everything done. How little you had to suffer for your art while doing this movie, because you get this fancy trailer, you're getting paid millions of dollars, you get craft services, everything else. I don't even know. Yet, when it comes time to being on stage for a minute and 35 seconds to award one of your peers with a statue, you just can't act. You can't do it. What the fuck is up with that? I just don't get it. I lose a lot of respect for actors as a whole. So if you're friends or family with an actor, sorry. You know, or if you think it's this amazing thing to be able to act, okay, good for you. Then why can't they do it when it comes to giving each other awards? Why? I mean, I would actually argue that one of the worst presentations of all time was the Fart Man by Howard Stern at the MTV Movie Awards. Was it movie or music? Whatever. But everybody remembers the whole Fart Man fiasco. Him coming down from the ceiling, farting at the podium, the thing explodes, assless David Lee Roth pants, what have you. Oh, God, that was terrible. I would take that any day of the week. I really would, compared to this SAG one had, like, Melissa McCarthy and Billie Eilish or something. It was terrible. All of them are terrible. I didn't even have to be specific. You know what I mean? I would take the fanfare and the failure over an actor being unable to act when they need to give somebody something. You know? God forbid they ever worked for Ed McMahon in Publishers Clearing House. They wouldn't even be able to hand over balloons in a genuine fashion. You wouldn't believe them. You'd be like, this person's acting. So major props to whoever actually did that. You guys were on the envelope. God bless you. But seriously, it pisses me off. I could probably go on for another hour about this. Maybe I should have skipped talking about the zoo and started complaining about actors. Well, here's another thing, is that during the show, Fran Drescher, who's the president of the Actors Union, gets on and gives a rousing speech about how they won, the union did great, and they won the negotiation, and thanks to them, and how they struggled. And I'm thinking, you motherfuckers, you don't struggle for shit. Are you kidding me? You know who struggles? Are the gaffers, or the sound guys, or the set builders, or hell, let's take it even further. Let's say you're in a union and you work in the medical industry, or you're a teacher and you can't get basic fucking supplies for your kids or something, and you're in the union and you guys are fighting, you're on the picket lines. That's a struggle. When you're an actor and you have three homes and you're sitting in one of them in Malibu, and you're like, well, what the fuck, man? We deserve our we don't want to be replaced by AI. You know, we get a fight. Get over it. I just cannot. Maybe you're saying the same thing to me, Dave, get over it. But I just cannot fathom that being a legitimate fight that someone suffered over. If you are a professional actor, SAG card holder that's been in movies before. Sorry. You know, maybe if you're like fucking Danny Bonaduce or something, it means either acting or painting fences for a living. You know what I mean? You're a washed up star. It's the only chance of being in a direct to DVD movie is if you guys win this union battle, you know, with the studios. But like, she's going on, man. And I'm like, I'm trying to read my book and mind my own business when my wife enjoys the show. And I'm just like, oh, come on. And she's like, babe, enough. I'm like, no, seriously, come on. Where's the struggle? Where is it? What happened here? You know, sometimes rich people just don't get it. And even the actors I think I could resonate with or identify to or whatever, like, then you see them and they might post something on social media, what have you, and it's all them getting all dolled up with their fancy suits and everything, and they got people putting makeup on them before they go to an award show. You're like, come on, I thought you might be somewhat normal, or, you know, I don't know, more like an average Joe, a regular person. But you're not. You live in this weird fucking bubble. Like, come on, dude. I'm sorry. And there are good actors out there. Don't get me wrong. I think I watched for the first time the other day, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Whatever your opinion on that movie is, I will tell you that Leonardo DiCaprio fucking killed it in that movie. He was amazing. The movie itself, it's okay. Give or take. But I brought up Brad Pitt before. I'll do it again. So if you want to rush to the National Enquirer and say I've got a crush on him or something, be my guest. But he was great in that movie, too. But Leo, and I'll call him Leo because he vapes, too. So he's got to be an everyday guy. He's got to be, you know, puts his fucking pants on one leg at a time like everybody else. He knocked it out of the park on that one. Holy cow. But still, these award shows, when will we just say we don't want him on TV? Enough, you know? And I'm sure you're wondering, like, Dave, are you ever going to talk about him being live on Netflix without, like, an official host? Because I think they had, I forget his name now. I'm sure I can just grab my phone and Google it, but fuck it. But they had one of the actors there. He kind of liked it, an impromptu. Every once in a while, it pop up and be like, hey, we're on Netflix, and yada, yada. But really, we don't need award shows. All we're doing is fucking fluffing these motherfuckers' egos, you know? And they're already fluffed. It's enough's enough. Let's do something right once for a change. And how much money did the sponsors pay to have the Oscars on last year? How much did it cost for a commercial, a 30-second spot? All right, well, let's take that money. And let's say you are a teacher in a school and you can't get a good salary because teachers deserve more money than fucking a professional baseball player, for Christ's sakes, which just came out of nowhere because I wasn't even talking about sports, but I just did. But you get my drift. Give them that money from that 1 minute commercial or something. Give it to them. Give it to that school district. You know what I mean? Do that instead. Could you imagine if and I'm just going to name a network like ABC. ABC said, okay, well, this year we have the Emmys, but in lieu of the Emmys being shown on TV, the awards will be given out in a private ceremony. But all the money that we would normally get from advertisers, we are donating to find a cure for this or donating to homeless in there. You know what I mean? What do you think would happen? Do you think there'd be an uproar? Like, oh my God, how dare they do something like this? Because it's for a good cause, right? I think it'd be maybe the catalyst that we need to cut the shit. Don't you? I might be onto something here, guys. I really might. So get out your pens, your papers, your clickety-clack keyboards. Start emailing people. And you tell them Dave sent you. Dave from the Selling Out Show. Because I want my credit. I want my cut. Fuck the teachers. I'm taking 15%. I'm kidding. But anyway, you get it. You understand. Thank you. You are my people. You are not like America Ferreira. Yes, I'm talking to you, America. I had a lot of respect for you, Jane. Not Jane the Virgin. Freaking Ugly Betty. Thought you were a superstore. Thought you were regular. But then I see that you got freaking AIDS and stuff coming up to you. Hey, would you like a sip of this? You don't even hold your own drink. You're sipping out of a straw because they're holding your drink for you because you're getting your makeup put on before a big award show. So much for being normal. America. That was just convenient because I'm trying to sum up America and her name is America. But anyway, I should probably stop now. That should be it. Enough. Enough of me. But before I do go, I will take another sip of this delicious coffee. Oh, Java, your taste is so good. Go down my throat like Java should. Anyway, I do want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I know I mentioned Nate earlier, and the show is still kind of in flux right now with just me going on and rambling for 35, 40 minutes or what have you. So I'm working on that. Okay. Also trying to work on the scheduling of it a little bit and kind of, you know, the format and all that good stuff. Any of the buzzwords you want to throw out there. So yeah, the show is still showing, still doing what it does. And for right now, it is just me and Phoebe. So for those who are sticking around, for, you know, and being like, hey, you know what? I'm going to give Dave a chance. I love you. I appreciate it. Even if you do love the award shows, I still love you. You know what I mean? Because you're saying, hey, Dave, you're my homie. We're tight. Loco Vatos forever, essay. You know? That's good stuff. I think Phoebe's actually snoring. Yes, my dog is over here snoring. I doubt the microphone is picking up here in the glorious wonkyweeds.com studios, but I can hear it, and I'm wearing headphones. So it's fairly a rabble-rousing sort of sleep she's got here. Anyway, yes, I'm out of here. So thanks again. Appreciate it. I will see you all soon. I am Dave. That is the snoring Phoebe. And this has been the Selling Out Show. Yeah.